Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. The exhibition space at the Haggerty Museum of Art is not large, but as you walk down the stairs into the first gallery space, you realize just how much can fit into the space without it feeling cramped. Native American artist Jeffrey Gibson works in a number of different media, from oil paint to assemblage and photography.
And a representation of all of it is part of the exhibition Look How Far We've Come, which is now on view at the Haggerty. Gibson is himself a representative of various groups that are often out of the mainstream. He comes from both Choctaw and Cherokee roots. He's gay, and he grew up both inside and outside of the United States. And that diverse background shows up in his work, including the piece on display he most wanted to talk about.
The work in the show covers about 2013 to some recent pieces that were completed in 2017. And I'm going to start with this piece right in front of us here, which is titled In Numbers Too Big to Ignore. In a lot of my work, I do reference lyrics of sometimes pop songs, disco songs, techno songs. And this one, of course, references Helen Reddy's
anthem. Even.
Anthem, exactly. And this piece was made in 2015. And this piece really at the time was in response to Black Lives Matter after I had returned from some trips to Canada, mainly to Winnipeg, and met a number of families who had lost female Indigenous women to the growing number of nameless and undocumented murders and missing Indigenous women. So it wasn't so much counter to Black Lives Matter, but wanting to kind of diversify the lives of people of color who were being undocumented. And when you speak to many of the families who I spoke to, felt that the police were responsible and were they were aiding the fact that these cases would not be investigated. And it was also after working in beadwork, paint, abstraction, trying to find ways that color would inherently mean something. So in this case, it's of course very red. And then there's this kind of gradation of color as we go into the center. There is a center. And it's been interesting with this exhibition, when we chose the title, Look How Far We've Come, that was in the summer of 2016. There's always been some social and political implications in the work and in the text that I choose, but really on a personal level. So with the current administration and everything going on in the country and the world, I feel as though now these words and numbers too big to ignore, in my mind, also relate to the number of people protesting for change, and also the power of numbers and collectivity and voice and speaking.
Were you prepared for your work to become, moving from the personal, the political as personal, to the political as cultural?
Right.
Were you ready for that? Was it something that you always thought your work might be able to articulate?
Yes. And in fact, I'm a strong believer that, you know, when we're in moments of distress, like many of the communities that I'm engaged in feel very much distress right now, instability, fear, panic, you're not making the best decisions. There's a huge amount of distraction. So I'm really very much a fan of trying to live ethically, compassionately, leading towards the maintenance of political civility before we're in an event like we are right now. So for me, the works have always been political, and oftentimes referring to past events, past cultural and political social movements, that there are still many questions surrounding how those things have unfolded, but there has been some level of resolve that I feel we can say is an achievement. But it is interesting, and I welcome the fact that people are able to see contemporary politics, because, you know, we live in a culture and society where there is a little bit of amnesia of what happened 20, 30 years ago. It seems as though it will never happen again. And in fact, I think as I've gotten older, you know, we really are cyclical, and that those cycles take a tremendous amount of energy to maintain that we don't go backwards. You know, so this idea of comfort, and I do teach, so the idea of comfort may be found in liberal circles is something that I've always been a bit distrustful of, because I'm like, don't get too comfortable, because it's the minute when you're too comfortable that suddenly things start fraying at the edges, you know?
Do you feel any responsibility for reaching the non-liberal audience? Is that something that you've ever tried to do, or is it so important that the communities that you're working with and representing, that they just haven't had a voice for so long, that that's where your energy is?
That's a really complex question, because I am interested in talking to conservative people. I think that in my what I do as an artist and educator, I meet plenty of conservative people who we do not share political views, but I am able to see and acknowledge that they are really smart. They have a huge amount to contribute. And so I never want to shut that conversation off, because there's a level of conversation where we're able to meet maybe about a common issue, and we have different perspectives on what resolve means. But that conversation is fruitful. On the other hand, I think there's a vulnerability in the work on a personal level, about race, about sexual choices, freedoms, rights, that really comes from a very individual and personal place, that my hopes is that in sharing it, because I know I appear very much as a functional person in the world, but just to let people know that, you know, function is oftentimes an overcompensation for something much more vulnerable underneath. So as an artist, I have the opportunity to kind of layer those things.
Well, and it's so perfect in that you straddle so many different worlds, you know, in your art and in your personal experience of the world, that I would be surprised if this ability to layer wasn't there too.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, and I also think, the layering is... You're always opening up to engage with the complexities of your life, as opposed to repression or as opposed to performance. And once you open up to the complexities, I actually think that's probably where we find more similarities between, you know, our views on just life. You know, your relationships to your loved ones, your children, your parents, your ancestors. I think that those things lie underneath the performances and the repressions, and really do bring us together much more than separate us.
It's where the juicy stuff is, too.
It is. It's where the answers lie, that when you dig up some juicy bit and you're like, oh, that's why it all makes sense. You know, that's why they never spoke.
I get it.
We certainly have those.
We all do.
Yeah.
And I am looking around the corner here, seeing
something. Yeah, we should move, right?
I want you to take me to and talk about it. It's more beadwork, and then we'll get to that wonderful figure in the middle. Mm-hmm. But tell me a little bit about this piece.
So this is actually the piece that I knew I was already going to make before I met Amelia Layden, who's the assistant curator here at the Haggerty, but really the one who I worked with the most. And I knew I was going to make this piece with the words, "Look how far we've come." And I remember feeling at the time that those words almost seemed kind of corny. You know, it was like, what are you really saying? Look how far we've come. I don't generally choose things that have any sense of irony to them. A lot of the formats that I choose, especially because I do, it's interesting that I started getting invited by textile departments of schools and universities, and I thought, I'm not a textile artist. And then I realized, oh, no.
You kind of are.
I kind of am. But was the idea of the difference between, let's say, a cultural garment versus fashion. So within the Native American context of powwow, there's a difference between the outfit versus the costume. Right. And so, and it's always an outfit. You know, this is what you wear when you dance. So historically, whether it's like a Chilkat robe or it's a chief's robe, this is not something that just anyone can put on. This is something made specifically for this role. And when you put it on, you assume an extraordinary position within the context of, let's say, in this case, ceremony. So those are my influences and references. I wanted to make cloaks, I refer to this as a cloak, that are so impractical that they actually change the way you move. These are so heavy that they literally, some people I think could not hold them up. It's difficult for me to hold up. I've put this on before, and it probably weighs about, my guess would be 100 to 120 pounds. So to have that on your shoulders with all of this metal that makes sound when you move, there's no way you can function as you do in your normal life with this on. And it's displayed very much the way that you would see a historical object shown in terms of trying to put it on the wall in a 2D rather than in movement or on a body. So this piece, Look How Far We've Come, the words are definitely there to acknowledge. I do think there's been a huge amount of achievement socially, politically, within the realm of social justice, certainly since I was born, 1972, and definitely there's a huge amount to go, but at least we're dealing with a public who knows that a woman's right to her body is her right. You know, we have the pop cultural notion of that. We know that lynching is wrong. These things might seem so obvious, but it's an achievement that it seems obvious to think that there was a time when those things seemed absurd.
Not that long ago.
Not that long ago.
Yeah.
I always try to choose words that are not didactic. They're not necessarily accusatory, but they're open-ended enough that the viewer is left to really consider how those words sit. And previously, I've been referencing previous social protest movements, counterculture movements, and here we are in another one where young people who I've spoken to a lot of classes here from MIAD and from Marquette are feeling very much the irony of this statement and questioning, you know, how does the celebration of what we've achieved, what does that mean in the face of a bullyish president who refuses to acknowledge a lot of things and literally has wiped those histories off of our national, you know, image in certain ways. So I hope that the work will continue to, the words in particular, and a lot of the words, Look How Far We've Come is something which I don't exactly know the originating point. I think it's something that I have always related to different social movements. But that's how I choose the words.
It's interesting that the words are so important for mm-hmm. a visual artist. Mm-hmm. I find that layering in your work so interesting, that the words are there for a very specific reason, even if you're not exactly sure what
right.
that is.
Right.
You look at this, if you looked at this piece and you took those words out,
right.
it would be very, very different.
Very different.
And mean something very different,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting working with abstraction. And if I took the words out, we're really looking at abstraction. Abstraction of materials, collage of materials. But what the words do is they name my subjectivity. You know, so I'm telling you, look how far we've come. If it's a garment that you're going to wear, this is what it looks like in Jeffrey Gibson's world. And part of that is probably having grown up and being so engrossed by the biographies of artists and creative people and leaders who, you know, we might know an achievement of theirs, but only when you see the whole, or you understand the narrative of their life, that maybe there's something really personal in there that really is why this was so important to them. So I think, and before the text was on the actual art objects, the text was always in the title. And that has always been there since I started making artwork. But what happened was I was garnering an audience that loved the formal qualities, the color, the shape of what I was making, but I wasn't able to get the personal narrative and importance across. And that has always really been the point of why it's important for me to make. And so I remember it was just a day of thinking, well, what's the most direct way I can do this? And it was putting the words directly onto the piece. And I think it is, it's encouraged me to think about words differently. It's encouraged me to write and to think about the difficulty of forming a voice, to author your own voice.
Tell your own story.
Yeah. And it's also become increasingly important for me to see them as homages to people who have articulated maybe my emotions for me before I knew how to do it. And maybe that's what a really great pop song that you can't stop listening to is doing. You know, it's articulating your heartbreak, it's articulating your love, it's articulating your loss and your mourning or your celebration. A lot of the original song lyrics that I was working from were from gay club anthems of the 80s and 90s. And I thought, you know, why were those songs so important to me? And it was always because I was in the process of coming out, and I was never sure if these artists who I wanted to think were gay or lesbian were singing about a same-sex partner they were longing for. But their decision to leave the pronouns in some level of ambiguity made space for me to interject myself with the pronoun that I was interested in. So there's that openness that I think, and of course within the decorative arts, there have always been people who have found ways to tell stories and leave clues and love notes to people because they couldn't be revealed publicly. So it's not so much that I'm interested in revealing that, because I think many people already understand that. But I do think that it's a very powerful place to work on a social and political level, to, you know, put things, inject things in the places where people don't expect to find them, you know?
Yeah. And something you said just a minute ago, leave room for people to insert themselves into that space that they find.
Right. And so, and to go back to what you were saying before, like, do I want to talk to liberals or, you know, right wing or whoever? I think sometimes, I'm sure there are people who on the surface are performing somebody who I would not share their politics with, who might outrightly say that my lifestyle is wrong. But maybe underneath all of that performance, maybe they're feeling the same way. And we all know that wouldn't be unheard of, you know? And so I think that the work is also for them. It is also for the people who, for whatever reason, feel that they, you know, it provides a little bit of an outlet for them to say that, you know, they understand what they're looking at.
Right. I was going to say it allows them to have their own narrative in a way that's safe.
Yeah. And the empowering part of that for me is I don't need their approval to make a successful artwork. And that was such a great thing to realize. You know, there's plenty of an audience for me to speak to. There's plenty of growth for me as an individual person in making these things. It's not that I approve of their dislike, hate, whatever, but it's nice to know that I'm not dependent on their approval.
Jeffrey Gibson's exhibit, Look How Far We've Come, is on display at the Hagerty Museum of Art on the Marquette University campus through May 21st. You can hear an extended version of this interview at WUWM.com.